And we have a guest speaker, Pastor Daniel Bush. We are celebrating 14 years of existence. This church was planted 14 years ago on Cromer Road. On JP Plaza, it's still there. On a stationery shop, by the way. It used to be a BAT, a cigarette warehouse or something like that. It was a result of missions. It was a result of men and women responding to the call of God to go out and plant churches. In fact, I have some friends who are planting a church somewhere in town, Lighthouse Community Church. And we are a result of people reaching out with the love of God. And I asked Pastor Daniel, who happened to be town. I have a friend called Saji Thomas. And he's a friend to my friend, so we're all friends, right? So I asked him to speak about missions and to remind us of our call to missions. Amen? So would you please welcome Pastor Daniel.
Thank you, Pastor Zayden. Good morning. It's really exciting for me to be here with you in Kampala. 38 years ago, I was saved in a Calvary Chapel outreach in Seattle, Washington, USA. And for the last 35 years, I've been sent out as a Calvary Chapel missionary, working with Youth of the Mission in Nepal, India, Sri Lanka, Bhutan, Maldives, mostly in this part of the world. But what a joy it is to be with you today, and I'm excited about what God has, and especially that this is your 14th year anniversary. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Obviously, God has done some wonderful things here in Kampala. I don't know how many are sitting here in this room, but you're a testimony that God is alive and working in Kampala. Hallelujah. Let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the word. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we would ask that you'd speak to our hearts. We would ask that you'd open your word to our minds. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher, and we need your anointing. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that can really understand what you want to say to us this morning. Lord, we love you. We just ask that you be glorified today, and we pray this in Jesus' name. I want to talk to you about becoming more of a missions-minded church. You're obviously a missions-minded church, but on your 14th anniversary, I want to challenge you to go deeper. Jesus said in John 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Our God is a missionary God. And the Bible is really a book about missions. From the call of Abram in the book of Genesis to John's vision in the book of Revelations, missions is one of the central themes of the gospel. It is really God's account of what he's done throughout history to bring his salvation to the ends of the earth. God the Father had one son who became the greatest missionary who ever lived. Jesus left perfect heaven to be a part of an imperfect human race. This was the greatest cross-cultural adjustment ever made in history. And he did this so that he could come and open the way to God, so that men once again could enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, he did this through his death and resurrection. And this all took place because of his great love. Paul says in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we are pounding the nails into his hands through our own sins and rebellion, God died for us. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." You see, God's desire is for all men to come to know Him. In Isaiah 45, verse 22, the Bible says, "Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." Hear the heart cry of God for all the ends of the earth to come to Him for salvation. And so to become more of a mission-minded church than you are right now, we need to see again that missions is one of God's divine purposes for all time. It's one of the central themes in the Bible. In Revelation chapter 5 and in verse 9, it's a picture of what's happening, something happening in heaven. And it says, "They sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe, language, people, and nation.'" You see, God has made a way for all mankind to be able to come and receive His salvation. His all people's missionary purposes will one day be fulfilled. And no one will be able to stop God from bringing His truth into all the world. In fact, Jesus will not return until the gospel has been preached to all people. Do you remember when Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, and He was talking with disciples about the future and the signs of the end of the age? And in Matthew 24:14, Jesus said this, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." If we're going to become more missions-minded as a church, then we need to be convinced of the biblical mandate for doing missions work. Because in the end times, the Bible tells us that one day God will take His church, the bride, to be with Him forever. And in the book of Revelation, we get a picture of what will happen in heaven one day in the future. In Revelation 11, verse 15, "The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of the Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever.'" The kingdom of the world has become. One day there will be a shout. It'll be complete. And He will reign forever and ever. The day is coming, and it's not only a dream, it's a definite reality. In Philippians 2, 9 and 10, Paul says this, "Therefore God exalted Him," Jesus, "to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, one day, every knee will bow, every tongue confess, and time is moving on to an ultimate climax when Jesus will come back again. So once we know that missions is one of the main purposes of God, we need to know what we're talking about when we talk about missions. You see, missions is not just about going to another people group in another country on another continent. It's not just when you get on an airplane with a group of believers to do some project of love for some other people. When the Bible talks about missions, it is simply talking about reaching others for Jesus. It's talking about discipling the nations, transforming societies. It doesn't matter whether it's in Africa, Asia, or across the street in your neighborhood. Mission starts the minute we walk out of this door onto the streets of Kampala, because we are God's representatives. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You see, we are the intersecting point between God and man today. We might be the only living Bible that someone will ever read. And so each of us have been commissioned to be God's ambassador here on earth. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You see, we're all his witnesses. The only question that remains is, what kind of witness are we? Jesus said you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, which speaks about our hometown. In Judea, which can speak about the area where we live. And Samaria, our country. And then the ends of the earth, all the rest of the world. You see, missions is for all born again, Bible believing Christians. Jesus said, go into all the world. Well, that statement includes right where you're living right now. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very ends of the earth. The word go here means to move out. It's usually referring to a change of location. But it also can refer about a heart change, where we're committed to be an ambassador for Jesus. Right here, in the community where we live, through both personal and corporate evangelism. You see, we can go into all the world through prayer and intercession, right here in this room, by being a witness of God's love, by going to another country in spirit-led times of prayer. So let's not believe the lie that God hasn't called me to be his ambassador. Don't think that you're not a missionary because you've never been on a missions trip before. Missionaries are simply sent ones. And we are all called to be his sent ones, his representatives in his world today. I'd like to give you 7 keys for becoming more of a mission-minded church. The first key, we need to embrace God's heart for world missions, realizing that he is a missionary God and longs for all men to be saved. His great love for people produced in Jesus a deep compassion for the lost, for the masses of people without a Savior. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 36, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they're harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You see, Jesus was concerned about the multitudes who were living without God. They didn't have a spiritual protector watching over them. And so he longed to draw all men to himself. In Matthew 23, verse 37, here we get a prayer of Jesus. It says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often," hear his heart, "I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you're not willing." This prayer shows the great heart of Jesus for the lost. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You see, Jesus went willingly to the cross to pay the price that we could not pay, to die for our sins. And he did this because of his great love for all mankind. You see, friends, God's heart is still breaking for the millions who are headed for an eternity apart from him. So let's embrace God's heart for the unreached, the unsaved, the lost of this world. And let's be totally committed to seeing every person get a chance to hear the gospel, understand it, and be discipled in God's ways, giving the best of our energy, our time, and our resources to God's all people's missionary purposes. So the first key is to embrace God's heart for world mission. Let's look at the second key for becoming more of a mission-minded church. We need to see that the fields are ripe for harvest. You see, we need a new heavenly perspective of the challenge today. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 35, "Don't you have a saying? It is still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." We need to realize that God has already been working and preparing hearts to receive the good news. He wants to give us a perspective of how ready people are to receive him as Savior and Lord. In Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Those who go out carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." This is a promise. If we go out in faith, we will see the harvest that God promised. Now is a time for the reaper and the sower to rejoice together, because God is calling men to himself. You see, we need a new vision of the millions in the valley of decision. God will build his church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So let's catch God's vision for the millions of places where there is no effective witness. So the second key for becoming more of a missions-minded church is to see that the fields are ripe for harvest. Let's look at the third key for becoming more of a missions-minded church. It's to mobilize both people and resources for the unfinished task. We can do that by helping others to see the challenge before the church. You see, the task is immense. So God wants us to take part in bringing in his harvest in these last days. Therefore, we need to see the whole church reaching the whole world giving our whole lives for world evangelization. Joining our hands together with other parts of the body of Christ to see our communities transformed by the power of the living God. Making disciples of all nations, helping the church believe that in Christ we can do it. So let's look at the current challenge before the church today. Let's compare believers with unbelievers. In the year 100 AD, there was approximately 360 unbelievers for every one believer. In the year 1000, 220 believers for every unbeliever. In the year 1500, 69 unbelievers for every one believer. In the year 1900, 27 unbelievers for every one believer. And in the year 2000, 7. Count them on your two hands. 7 unbelievers for every one believer. Now let's compare Bible-believing churches with unreached people groups. In the year 100, there was one Bible-believing church for every 12 unreached people groups. In the year 1000, there was one Bible-believing church for every one UPG. In the year 1500, 4 Bible-believing churches, 1 UPG. 1900, 10 Bible-believing churches, 1 UPG. In 1980, 162 Bible-believing churches, 1 UPG. In the year 2000, 580 Bible-believing churches in 1 UPG. Hallelujah! Amen. Our generation is in a better position to finish the Great Commission than any other generation in history. Our efforts can make a difference. If we join hands with other parts of the body of Christ, we certainly can bring the good news to every person on this planet, reaching the last, the least, and the lost. So let's get rid of unbelief, negativity, and embrace the reality that in Christ, all things are possible. You see, He can take our church, your church, to a new level of effective partnership in His all people's missionary purposes. Every church and organization needs to be involved in world evangelization. Jesus said this in Matthew 9, 37 and 38. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. You see, Jesus commands us to ask God to send out more laborers into His harvest field. That speaks of a proactive mindset of recruiting for God's kingdom through prayer. And the work of mobilizing people for effective evangelism and discipleship is absolutely necessary. We need to be training people in how they can be a part of both local and foreign missions. Being willing to give our best to see the gospel advance. And so the third key to becoming more of a missions-minded church is to mobilize people and resources for the unfinished task. Let's look at the fourth key for becoming more of a missions-minded church. To be committed to release missionaries or church workers and support them. In Romans chapter 10, Paul is speaking about God's heart desire for Israel to be saved. And he says in Romans 10, 14 and 15, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them. And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You see, God is calling His church to a deeper commitment to missions, both locally, right here, and internationally. And that means we need to send out our best to show the love of Jesus. So let's prepare the saints to do the work of the ministry by being a mobilizing, recruiting, equipping, releasing church. Many years ago in Nepal, I led a team of four people. We flew on a little twin otter, 12-seater flight from Kathmandu into a remote area of upper eastern north Nepal. We began a trek that would take 7 days. After 4 days of trekking and passing hundreds of villages, we probably shared the gospel with a couple thousand people. We passed out tracts. We shared the good news and never met a single person who heard the name of Jesus. One night I got up really early in the morning in a village called Chainpur. I went up on top of a ridge, and on the ridge I could look down, I could see the stone roofs of the houses, and the smoke started coming up as daylight was beginning to dawn. And I was asking the Lord, "Lord, give me someone to share with. Lord, I pray, I claim this village for you. I pray that you'd raise up a permanent witness for your kingdom." And then I said, "Lord, give me someone who I could talk to this morning and to share the good news." An old man walks up the trail. He comes up. I begin opening a conversation. Open up the Bible. And for half an hour, I laid out the story of Jesus. And then I asked him, "Do you want to believe?" And he said to me, "How can I believe? There's no other believers in this village. I can't read your Nepali book." He was illiterate. "How can I believe? And now you said you were going," because I told him I'm going on to another village today. "So how can I believe?" I was so deeply challenged by this old man. I felt that God was speaking right to my heart as I realized that most of the world are in the same situation that this man was in. How will they be able to know Jesus died for them unless people go to them, share their lives with them, so they can understand the word and be taught in the Bible? How can they believe? How can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone going and preaching to them? And how can they preach if they're not sent? And so, church, we've been given a great responsibility to be senders of God's people into the harvest fields of this world. So the fourth key to becoming more a missions-minded church is to release missionaries or church workers and support them in the call of God. Let's look at the fifth key for becoming more of a missions-minded church. It's to develop strategies to help our church to grow. You can set up a missions group. Maybe it's already here in your church. I didn't get a chance to ask Pastor if that was the case. So if I'm preaching to the choir, forgive me. They can keep the church informed on the latest missions material. They can help people to understand the challenge. They can form a prayer team to stand in the gap for their missionaries. They keep in touch with them, keeping the body of Christ aware of the challenges they're facing. They can be given a responsibility for maybe one day a year, a special missions day, where we focus on the world. We can use social networks, charts, blogs, websites, other visual aids about the real needs of our community and the world internationally. Find people who are gifted in technology, the young. Anybody under 25 will do great. Make sure they're creative so that they can make these visual aids appealing and challenging. You can use websites like the Joshua Project, the U.S. Center for World Missions, Call to All, and Calvary has its own whole places where you can get information about missions. Many people really want to get involved, but they don't know what to do. This group could find ways to raise money, do special projects, find ways to help people stay on the field, knowing when they're facing giants in the land and helping them when they come back to church to reconnect in a meaningful way. Being concerned about their situation and their future. So the fifth key to becoming more of a missions-minded church is to develop strategies to help our church grow in mission. Let's look at the sixth key for becoming a missions-minded church. Be committed to finishing the task. Our God is a finisher. The Bible calls Jesus the pioneer and perfecter of our faith in Hebrews 12. King James used this version. He says, the author and finisher. And this word for finisher in the Greek speaks of completeness, both mentally and morally. In Genesis 2, the Bible said God finished His work and rested on the seventh day. Friends, God's rest was not only the rest from His labors. It was also a rest of completion and fulfillment. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said this, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. You see, Jesus got strength and nourishment through completing the work of God had given Him to do. In John chapter 5, verse 36, Jesus said this, I have a testimony weightier than that of John. For the very works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing testify that the Father has sent me. You see, Jesus knew that the work the Father had sent Him to do was meant to be finished. And whenever God gives us a command, it is meant to be completely followed to the end. You see, biblical obedience has to do with finishing the necessary action. Paul was also a finisher. In Acts 20, he says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Paul longed to finish that race. Even at the end of his life, we see that desire there. In 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You see, we need a mentality of completion, especially when we're facing the giants of the land. Aiming to bring the good news to all creation, being committed to finishing the Great Commission. So the sixth key is to be committed to finishing the task. The seventh and final key I want to give you this morning for becoming more of a missions-minded church on your 14th anniversary is to believe God for a new release of pioneer missionaries. Paul was a pioneer missionary. In Romans 15, 20 and 21, it says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so I'd not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as is written, those who are not told about Him will see. That's a promise. And those who have not heard will understand. You see, here we get the apostolic ambition, the deep desire, the inner motivation compelling Paul to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. He longed to push back the borders where the power of darkness had been reigning, to open the eyes of the blind, and to set the captives free. You see, we need pioneer missionaries to go into the mind molders of our society. The seven areas of influence, like the area of family, government, economics, science and technology, business, religion, education, media, communication, celebration, arts and entertainment and sports. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, 15 and 16, neither do we go beyond our limit by boasting of work done by others. Listen to this. Our hope, speaking of the team's hope, our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, whose faith? The Corinthians' faith. Our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in someone else's territory. Here we get a glimpse of the hope that motivated Paul and his team to evangelism and discipleship. That as their faith would grow, so their area of activity, of witnessing, of testifying to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of sharing about the Lord, will greatly expand. See, Paul was a pioneer missionary with the mentality of expansion, of wanting to see kingdom growth. And he longed to see multiplication. That should be our longing too. Bringing the salvation of God to the ends of the earth. See, I believe God is looking for people who will ask Him for the nations, who will not settle for second best for their lives, who will not allow fear to keep them from sharing their faith. God the Father said to His Son in Psalms 2, verse 8, ask of me, and I'll make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You see, God is still looking for people today, men and women, who will come to Him on their knees and ask Him for the nations of the world. Will we do that? Let's remember the seven keys for becoming more of a mission-minded church. One, embrace God's heart for world missions. Two, see that the fields are ripe unto harvest. People are ready to receive the good news. Number three, mobilize both people and resources for the unfinished task. And number four, release people as missionaries or church workers and support them. And number five, develop strategies to help our church grow in missions. And number six, be committed to finishing the task. And number seven, believe God for a new release of pioneer missionaries, both locally and internationally. You see, if God is calling us to become more missions-minded, then we need a paradigm shift to take place here. We need a mentality change that flows out of a heart change that comes from God. We need to see more regular, consistent evangelism happening in the body of Christ. Can we ask God to take us in the 14th year anniversary of our church to a new level of becoming more of a missions-minded church? Can we press on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of us? Let's commit ourselves to dream His dream again for world salvation. Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do. Singleness of purpose. Forgetting what is behind And straining towards what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which Christ Jesus has called me heavenward. So let's ask God to help us to become more of a missions-minded church. Can we do that? I'd like to ask Pastor to come forward and take us from here. Thank you.
Let's stand and pray as the worship team comes back to lead us in worship. Lord, we thank you so much for the men that you sent out to plant this church 14 years ago. And thank you so much for challenging us today and reminding us today to the very same call. And does not stop with us. Does not stop with them. Lord, we receive that challenge with faith that there is more people that you want to reach out to in this city, in this country, and all around the world, Lord. And Jesus, we just open our hearts to receive your strength and power and wisdom so we would follow you wherever you'd lead us. Lord, I ask that you guide us to follow your Spirit wherever he leads. Lord, I pray that you may right now, as I speak to people whom you want to send out on a work that you want to start. But as we've been planting churches over the last number of years, Lord, we want to plant more churches. As we've been discipling men and women through the years, we want to continue doing that. And I pray that all of us here would feed from you and be healthy and be fruitful wherever you've placed us, Lord. I pray, Jesus, that you just give us a fresh fire, fresh power, fresh passion for the lost. I pray that today, Lord, we would be rekindling our interest in telling people about your love, about your death on the cross, about your resurrection and your soon return. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.